I'd like to welcome each and every one to the house of the Lord on this beautiful Sabbath morning. This opportunity that we have to come and petition our God for his forgiveness, that we might be made clean this day. I'd like to read two passages of Scripture found in the 26th chapter of Matthew, dealing with these very emblems that are before you this morning. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it, and blessed it, and gave to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is a remembrance of my body, which I give a ransom for you." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is a remembrance of my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for as many as shall believe on my name for the remission of their sins." And I give unto you a commandment, that ye shall observe to do the things which ye have seen me do, and bear a record of me even unto the end. This is a special service this day, a very special day for especially the two newest members of our congregation, Macy Turner and Timothy Farrell. And they will be sharing their very first communion this day with you, your brothers and their brothers and sisters, as they remember that promise that they made at the water's edge. And it would be good, I believe, for each of us to remember that day in our life, that day that we did also walk down into the waters of baptism, taking upon us the name of Jesus Christ, committing our life to him, and making that promise that we would keep his commandments and always remember him for as long as we shall live. This service is a memorial. We could consider it a memorial service of the life and death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. A day of remembrance. A day of self-examination. A day to partake of the Lord's Supper worthily. And reading from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, starting with the 28th verse. We heard this very same scripture in our early morning priesthood prayer service. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among us, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." We have been admonished that we are to examine ourselves, that there be no aught against anyone, that we would make that right before we would partake of the communion. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. As you remember the scripture saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Even at the age of 12, He was doing the will of his father. When his parents, after 3 days searching for him, after celebrating the feast of the Passover, they could not find him amongst their kinmen that they had traveled a day's journey from Jerusalem. And they spent the next 2 days looking for him. So that third day, they found him in the temple, teaching those learned men of the day. And his parents were quite upset with him. The scriptures tell us that Mary, his mother, spoke to him, saying, "Behold, your father and I have sought thee diligently." And his remarks to his mother, those famous words as well, "Knew ye not that I must be about my father's business?" At age 12, he was performing that will of his father in teaching those doctors and learned men of that time. At age 30, he began his ministry, calling his 12 apostles, making them fishers of men. He healed the sick and afflicted. He preached repentance, baptism, and salvation to all that would hear. He raised Lazarus from the dead and performed many miracles. And as it was stated in our early prayer service, we each one can look forward to that miracle of forgiveness this day. At age 33, he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem on the back of a young ass to face his accusers. He came to be lifted up upon the cross, giving that ultimate sacrifice of his life for you and for me. In that upper room, commemorating the Passover, Jesus sat down with the 12 and shared with them these emblems of his body and his blood, saying, "This bread is in remembrance of my body, which I give a ransom for you, a price paid for the justice of sin in our lives. This wine is in remembrance of my blood, which is shed for you, for the remission of your sins." And reading from Mark, 14th chapter, starting with the 24th verse. "And as oft as ye do this ordinance, ye will remember me in this hour that I was with you and drank with you of this cup, even the last time in my ministry. Verily I say unto you, of this ye shall bear record. For I will no more drink of the fruit of the vine with you until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God." I'm looking very forward to that day. That day that our Lord will sit among us and partake of that vine fruit with us once again. Then after supper, they rose and went out into the evening cool air, traveling to the Mount of Olives, and perhaps passing through a vineyard on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then the book of John, chapter 15, I like to pick up that account where Jesus is sharing some of his very last conversations with his 11. See, Judas had already gone to perform that evil work. So as they were passing through that vineyard on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he spoke some of these very last words to them, his 11, before Judas and that band of chief priests and elders came to take him away. Starting with the first verse of chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are chosen through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my works abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. This analogy, I'm sure, was very familiar to his disciples, for they had been around the vineyards many times throughout their lives, I'm sure. Perhaps even picking of that fruit, certainly drinking of it. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. God is the vine dresser of his vineyard. Jesus is that true vine. You are the branches. Every branch in Jesus that beareth not fruit, the Father taketh away to burn. Every branch that beareth fruit, the Father pruneth it, that it may bring more abundant fruit. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. We must abide in Jesus to bear good fruit. This fruit that we're to bearing is not necessarily confined to the winning of souls to Christ, but it's also for that maintaining of all good works. The Father is a vine dresser, the keeper of the vineyard, cutting off and pruning the branches so that they may yield a greater harvest. And I ask you each one this day, what are you willing for God to prune from your life? I'd like you to seriously consider that question to you personally this day. What it is that you are willing to let God prune from your life this day. To cut it off. To never let it affect your abundant harvest of that good fruit. What is it that you would have God prune from your life this day? Perhaps it might be selfishness or pride. Perhaps worldly desires or even Babylon, the world, and its many follies and pleasures. What are you willing to have God prune from your life this day? Perhaps it might be slothfulness, making excuses for yourself. Or perhaps some of those same sins, some of those same sins that we ask God to forgive us for each and every month. Have we truly come with that broken heart and contrite spirit this day to have our lives pruned of these detriments, to fulfilling that bounteous harvest, those good fruits that we glorify God in performing before Him? And reading from chapter 15 of John again, down to the 13th verse. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has laid down his life for his friends. You are Jesus' friends. He was willing to make that ultimate sacrifice for you, that we may be washed clean in his blood this day. He has not called us his servants, but he has called us his friends, that we might always have his Spirit to be with us. I truly pray that we each one would remember that day of our commitment at the water's edge, when we witnessed before God that we were willing to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ. That we promised that we would keep all of his commandments, and that we would always remember him, that we might have his Spirit to be with us always. As this communion is passed before you this day, I would ask again that you might remember that question. What is it exactly that you're willing for God to prune from your life this day, to cut it off, never to let it be an effect of that good fruit, that bounteous harvest, that you might glorify God in performing before Him, your family, your friends, acquaintances, and those that yet need to hear your testimony of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord.